On our journey to the city, we stopped on a nearby hill. "Look," said the teacher, pointing to an event at the city's edge. "It looks like a wedding," I replied. "Or the preparation for a wedding. The bride, in a white gown, was standing in a garden with her bridesmaids. I wrote that wrong. "You're watching a cosmic mystery, the shadow of a mystery. Existence," he said, "is a love story. Or was meant to be a love story. The bride is a picture of what we each were created to be." "I don't understand," that's the student that said, "I don't understand. We were each created to be the bride. That's why we can never be complete in ourselves. That's why deep down in the center of our being, in the deepest part of our heart, we seek to be filled. For the bride is made to be married. So we can never find our completion until we are joined to him who is beyond us. And that is why we go through our lives trying to join ourselves." "Join ourselves to what?" "To that which we think will fill the longing of our hearts. To people, success, possessions, achievements, money, comfort, acceptance, beauty, romance, family, power, a movement, a goal, and any multitude of things. For the bride was created to be married, and she can never rest until she is." "So none of those things can never work?" "No, because none of those things are the bridegroom." "And who was the bridegroom?" "The bridegroom is God, the one for whom we were created. So we have to find him?" "More than that," he said. "A bride doesn't just find the bridegroom, she marries him. So it's not enough to find God, you must marry him." "Marry God? How?" "By joining every part of your life and being, your deepest parts, your heart, your soul, your wounds, your longings, your desires, everything to God. Only then you can be complete. Only then can your deepest needs and longings be fulfilled. For the mystery of our hearts is the mystery of the bride. And the bride can only find her completion in the bridegroom. For the bridegroom of our souls is God. And this is the mission. It says, put away anything that substitutes for his presence and join all that you are, your deepest parts, to your bridegroom. This is the devotional section of day 6 of the Book of Mysteries. And I'm going to get into some scriptures here in a minute. There's 3 scriptures that Jonathan Cahn mentions in this devotional that I've also studied. But there's also other scriptures that the Lord wants me to get into apart from the devotional that I've written here on this outline, as well as those that the Spirit has quickened me during the reading of this devotional to get into. The first one is in Hosea chapter 2, and I'm going to be using the Bible app for this. Hosea chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 16 to 20. I mean, to 23, 16 to 23. Now, it says, "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, or Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. And that day I will make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth. To make them lie down safely, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, and loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with rain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Previously, God had instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute. And God had instructed him to name, I think, two of his children, you know, not my people, something to that effect, but you can find that in chapter 1. Suffice it to say, because of Israel's sin, God had basically, you know, God was using Hosea's marriage as a prophetic sign that this is what I'm doing to Israel. And now he's saying, those who were called not my people are now my people, and they will say, I am their God. And so this was a promise to Israel, and God has given this to me as a prophetic promise to pray for specific people and things like that. But here's another scripture that the Spirit gave me as I was listening, as I was reading that devotional. And I'm going to be reading this from two different translations. First one is the Passion Translation. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep." And it continues and it says, "For even if you were to gain the wealth and power of this world at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? I, the Son of Man, will one day return with my messengers, and in the splendor and majesty of my Father, and then I will reward each person according to what they have done." I'm going to stop there. So the point is, disown your own life. Pick up the cross of Christ and follow him. Here's how it says it in the New King James. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And then it goes on to say there are some standing, you know, that will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But to drive the point home, God is saying, this is the cost to truly follow Christ. Father God, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the message that you've given me and that you are giving to your servants across the world, Lord. I haven't listened to it yet, but I will. I thank you for the service that Pastor Todd Coconato did last night on this very topic of dying to self. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal Jesus. Father, I ask that you, through your Spirit, you would reveal your Son, Jesus Christ, in this broadcast, this podcast, Lord. I ask right now in the name of Jesus that just as it was in the days of Pentecost, that these words would prick to the heart, Lord, that there would be a discerner of the soul and spirit. You know, I actually didn't even think when I preached on the judgment seat of Christ last Tuesday, but John Bevere, and I just listened to another sermon on Driven by Eternity, and he said, you know, Jeremiah said, Lord, that your word is a fire. And he said, that's all the more reason that we need to read the word, because in the day of judgment, in John 12, Jesus says, it is by my words that you will be judged. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways. As we read the word, as we come sit at your feet and listen to your voice, whether it be by first-hand experience directly or through your servants, Father, we ask right now, come Holy Spirit and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, and on that subject of the judgment seat of Christ, something I didn't think to do last Tuesday, but I want to go ahead and do right quick, is for those of you that listened to the broadcast, to the podcast last Tuesday, and I mentioned about, you know, how would you like for God to burn your works up now that would be burnt up in the day of judgment so that he can help you to redeem the time. What we're doing, I'm not setting a new doctrine, but in the scriptures it shows how David in the Old Testament was able to bring, God had shown him aspects of the New Testament, and he was able to bring certain aspects of that into the Old Testament. He was able to experience certain aspects of the New Testament reality, you know, from what other scholars, you know, people who have studied, and what I've heard in other sermons, that this is in essence, you know, the reason why David was able to have the ephod and things like that, because he was bringing that reality into his reality. And so that's what I was doing, in essence, last Tuesday when we taught on the judgment seat of Christ, is I was saying, how about we bring the judgment into now so that in the future we don't have to suffer loss. You know, Holy Spirit can continue to help us to redeem the time. You know, we can redeem the time, and we can get some extra gold and silver and precious stones to be able to build that crown that we can lay at the feet of Jesus, and that also he will, you know, will be able to use to rule and reign with Christ. So I wanted to give that clarification for those that are, you know, truly seeking, and they're like, well, I'm not really too sure about this idea of, you know, I wanted to bring that clarification to you. But on to the message. Deuteronomy, this is the scripture that excuse me. This is one of the scriptures that Jonathan Cahn wrote down in the devotional. It's Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind," I mean strength. And as I was preparing, the Lord reminded me of Matthew 26, verses 36 to 40, which is the New Testament. Here's what it says, and I'm reading this from the Passion Translation because I think this really shows us what this means, what is required of us. It says, "Teacher, which commandment is the law? In the law is the greatest." Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you." Let me read that again. Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart." Think about that. Every passion of your heart. With all the energy of your being. And with every thought that is within you. That's powerful, isn't it? I want to camp on that for a minute. Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart. Every energy. With all the energy of your being. And with every thought that is within you. Now, what I believe, one of the things we need to know is that this means that church life and regular life are not like, they go together. I'll just say that. They go together. So you want to make sure that what you are doing, you would want the Holy Spirit to be able to do with you. The Bible says, and actually, I'm going to find this, the outline here. There we go. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, it says, "To don't grieve the Holy Spirit." Yeah, it says, "The Holy Spirit of God," this is in the Passion Translation, "The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Isaiah 63 verse 10 says, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, and because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He has given to us, like an engagement ring is given to a bride, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. And I'm going to stop there. And then I think 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So let me read that again. Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. Philippians 4:8 says, think on those things that are good, you know, praiseworthy, noble, holy, pure. In 4:7 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, thanksgiving to God, you know, make your requests known. And so there are a lot of instructions in Scripture that follow with this specific command to love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. And this also would include what shows you watch. I'm not trying to be legalistic, but speaking from experience. You know, true crime documentaries and things, at least for me, I had to do self-deliverance afterwards. So you really have to be very careful what you watch. Continuing in verse 38, talking about the verse we just mentioned, it says, this is the great commandment and supreme commandment, and the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within the commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. We discussed this in the Judgment Seat of Christ sermon. And, you know, as was just mentioned, it's by the word of Christ that we will be judged, and I believe maybe even what was written in the epistles. You know, it's by the word of God that we will be judged. Will our works be burnt up? Or will our works be purified as gold and silver and precious stones? And now, we have three more scriptures, at least on this outline. And, okay, we're still going good. I want to read to you Song of Songs 1 verses 1 to 4. This is one. Wait. Actually, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 verses 12 to 17. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both, and both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Excuse me. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. I want to stop for a minute, and I want to encourage you to read in Proverbs. It talks about the adulterous woman, something to the effect of the adulterous woman. Her words are smooth as honey, but yet, you know, her house leads down to the pit. And I just, you know, encourage you to read that on as a side note, more or less. Well, not really even as a side note, because as Paul says, and we'll go on to read this later on, that the husband and the picture of a husband and a wife, it's a prophetic picture of the great mystery of Christ in the church. Verse 17, it says, But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 21. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 21. Now we're going to We're gonna read Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Song of Songs chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. The most amazing song of all by King Solomon. Let him smother me with kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out, for your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides to be adore you. This is her friend speaking. Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. Oh no, that's not the chorus. This is the chorus of friends. We will remember your love. Rejoicing and delighting in it, in you. Celebrating your every kiss as bitter as wine. No wonder righteousness adores you. That's the lavish, that's the song of the bride to the bridegroom. And Song of Songs, the way the Passion Translation, the way that the Brian Simmons, who wrote this also in consulting with other theologians and stuff, the way they interpreted Song of Songs is it's like the bride writing to the bridegroom, the bride of Christ writing to the bridegroom, Christ, or Christ writing to the bride. That's kind of how they interpret it. Theologically, there are other systems of thought that say that this is just a romance, like, you know, Solomon writing to his wife, that type of thing. But I wanted to give you context as to how they interpret it, you know, using the Passion Translation, because that's what that was from. And our final scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 32. Now, before we go there, I want to remind you, and also 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, I think it is, talks about, you know, Paul says, you know, I've betrothed you to one husband, and that's Christ. But I want to remind you of a sermon that we did a while back called Restoring the Family Structure. And this was in the context of, a husband and wife, and, you know, how they were to treat each other and the family. And, you know, just this goes back into the natural side of it. But also I talk in there about John 15:15, you know, man lays down his life for his friends. And I want to talk to you for a minute. There is a sobering sketch that, or skit, whatever you want to call it, but a short film that Messenger International put out. There's actually two. And there's one where a guy proposes to his wife. I'm going to use different names than they used in the sketch. But let's say you're on a vacation, a romantic vacation with your boyfriend. Let's use the names John and Lucy. John and Lucy are on a vacation together, and John takes Lucy to a specific spot. And then he gets down on one knee and he says, Lucy, ever since we met, I knew that you were the one that I wanted to be with. And, you know, and something to that effect. And he says, will you marry me? And she says, yes. She says, but one stipulation, I still have to sleep with other guys every night. John goes, what? No, when we get married, you know, basically I'm the only one, you know, undivided attention. She says, finally she gives in and she says, yeah, I understand. Maybe once a week? He says, what? Once a week? And then he repeats the arguments. No. Well, once a year? No. Once a leap year? No. And it continued. Finally, he just says, actually, this is the second time he goes, you know what? That's it. We're done. And he walks off. There's another illustration I watched in another sermon a while back from John Bevere, where a husband and wife go to dinner together. And this time it's the husband. There's other ladies there, meeting them there. And his wife was perplexed, like, what's going on here? And those were his mistresses, basically. And you may say, well, that just sounds nuts. But I tell you these things because that's what we do with Jesus. If you're listening today to this podcast and you're a non-believer, I want you to count the cost. Because coming to Jesus, you're basically making a commitment. It's like an engagement. Here in America, you could say salvation is like the engagement time, and when you get to heaven, there's the wedding supper of the Lamb, if we want to use it in American terms. Jewish, there's not an engagement, although it's similar. There's other days of this book of mysteries that we're going to get into, but the bride and the groom leaves the bride for a time. And this is the bride's testing season. But he leaves her for a time and prepares a place for her. I think in his house. And I'm just going off of memory from how I remember from Jewish tradition. And then, later on, they have their wedding ceremony. And they get married. But, so the salvation period, if you want to put it in that term, this time for the bride of Christ is a testing period. Are we going to stay with Christ, or are we going to go astray and go after other lovers, other gods in religious terms, other lovers in romance terms? What are we going to do? And I'm getting more and more resolved than ever before to, and you know, the way John Bevere discussed repentance and what the Lord showed him repentance is, it changed the way I think. Most people, when they talk about the Greek word metanoia, or as he says it, metanoiae, they say it just simply means to change your mind. But when I listened to this sermon last night about the knockoff Jesus that I talked about at the beginning of this podcast, the Lord showed him how you can tell if a person is non-repentant is if they continue to choose. They're the authority on what's right and what's wrong. But a person who is repentant, has a repentant heart, says, okay, God, you and your word are the final authority. I'm not. It's not just a change in mind, it's a change in personality. It's a change in the very core of the heart. Which is why Jesus said things like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in Matthew 15, verse 9, that's why he talked about out of the heart contain thought, like evil thoughts, like murders and, you know, things like that. And I believe even why he said it's out of the heart. That if you were to lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her. So it's a heart issue. And so therefore, daily, we have to die. We have to die daily. Momentarily. It's not even just a daily death. We have to continually remind ourselves. You know, I can't remember what led to him saying to the Lord saying this, but he, and I think just because I may have given him the permission, but he said that every day was going to be something to the effect, In a spiritual, not literal sense, but having, you know, me having the courts of heaven perspective, he said every day is going to be like the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, that's a roundabout way of saying I'm going to help you to, you know, to put it in common person's terms, if you will, I'm gonna help you to live your life in such a way that you have full reward. And that's what made me say, okay, Lord, I go before the courts of heaven and I ask that you would burn up all the works, all the wood, hay, and stubble. And that's what led me on that path to do that. Sorry about that. Hold on. All right. So, and I would encourage you to, as another resource, I would encourage you to type in Todd Coconato, Coconato, Diet to Self Friday Service, after this on YouTube. And I would encourage you to watch, listen to the service, listen to the sermon, to get more in depth into this. But Ephesians chapter 5, I wrote verse 28 to 32. But I think I started at verse 25. Anyway, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loves the church and gave his life for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or having any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Again, this is day one of, well, it's day six of the Book of Mysteries, but this is part one of our series on the Bride of Christ that I feel the Lord is leading me to do at this point in time. Now, Father, I just thank you. I ask that you would seal this word in our hearts. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us right now. Confirm your word. Now, some of you watching, you used to be, or at least you're on the path of leaving Buddhism or Hinduism or, you know, some other religion. Again, I'm going to remind you, you have to leave everything behind. But not only that, if you were to read in the, when you read in the Gospels, you'll find that Judas left everything behind to follow Jesus, but he still betrayed Jesus. So it's not just outwardly I'm going to leave everything behind, but in my heart, I've still got a bunch of boyfriends or I've still got a bunch of boyfriends on the side. I'm still playing with, you know, whatever on the side. You have to be willing, even in your heart, to lay everything down. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Luke 16:19-31 discusses a time when a rich man had a lot of wealth, but there was a beggar at his table named Lazarus, and the dogs would lick the sores of Lazarus, and Lazarus was eating the crumbs from this rich man's table. But then a day came when this rich man died. Actually, I'm telling it backwards. Then a day came when Lazarus died, and he was escorted by an angel of the Lord to Abraham's bosom. In the Old Testament days, paradise was not in heaven, you know, because Christ had not paid the price. He had not taken captivity captive yet, as it says in 1 Peter, I think it is. So on this day when Jesus tells the story, the rich man is taken down below the earth. Not the rich man. Lazarus is taken down below the earth, but he's taken to paradise, into Abraham's bosom. But then a day came when the rich man died. He was taken to the other side, to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw him. He knew it instantly. He was in torment. He was in flames. I've heard of near-death experience testimonies where people get to come back. They say when, you know, they were out of their bodies, and then eventually it's like they noticed they were quickly spiraling down. They were quickly shooting down, or however you say it, just falling down into these flames. But he woke up, this rich man, as it says in the scriptures, woke up and he was in hell. And eventually he saw Father Abraham. He said, there was many things he asked. One of them was, Can you send Lazarus down here to put some water on my tongue? Another one was, can you send Lazarus to my brothers, to my family, so that they not come here? Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. And the rich man said, but if one would be sent to them from the dead, they would repent and they would turn to God. And Abraham said, but if they don't hear the Moses and the prophets, if they don't obey Moses and the prophets, they will not obey when one comes back to them from the dead. Friend, you never know when your time comes that you're going to die and leave this earth. Everyone has an eternal home. It's either heaven or hell. If you're a Christian and you're on fire, I mean, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're lukewarm, Jesus says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But if you are a red hot believer in Christ, you're going to heaven. That's your eternal home. You have eternal life, but you're able to live out that eternal life here and now. But if you are somebody who today, even some of you may be on the fence about coming to Christ, you are already living out of your eternal home now too, which is hell. And all it takes is for you to be killed by either a car wreck or maybe murder, or for you to die of natural causes. And you're one breath away from hell. You know, in the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Jonathan Edwards would describe it something like, you're like a fly hanging over a hot stove, that at any moment you could fall in that hot stove. And I want you to realize the plight that you're in now. That's why I tell you these things. Even if you serve self, or you think you're an atheist, you still have a God that you're worshiping. And self is not going to answer prayers. That whole, you know, as even Jonathan Kahn had written in this book and portrayed the teacher as telling the student, you know, the only one that can complete you is God, your creator. The only one who can complete you is Yahweh. Amen. Holy Spirit, I need your help to know how to do this. I'm going to pray for you. Father, first of all, before I pray, I ask that you would give them the words to say. I even sense that there are some that think you're Christian, but God, today, this is your day to turn things around. To rededicate. There's even leaders. The Lord says this is a continuation of the judgment seat of Christ sermon, if you will. This is a season that he's going to call people through these messages . I want to speak right now to Generation Z, and maybe even just to those that Let me just say this. By way of study, it has been discovered, you know, the Holy Spirit's has the nurturing side of God. Actually, I just feel the Lord to just tell me to go ahead and pray. Lord, words cannot adequately describe, at least the way I was attempting to describe. I just ask, Holy Spirit, that to every person who maybe was never shown Christ through their parents, or whatever it may be, I ask that you would, Holy Spirit, reveal to them the mother side of God, the Mother Heart of God. You would come into their hearts and into their lives in a way that's never been felt before. That you would help them. Father, now as I feel led, I ask that you would... Lord Jesus, you're called the Everlasting Father. I pray that you would reveal the heart of the Father to this generation, Lord, now, as we continue on this podcast. As you did with me, I pray for the baptism of love to come upon them. The love of God to come upon this generation, Lord. I release it now. It's going to be hard for them to be offended. It's going to be hard for them to at least stay offended. They may get offended for a short period of time, but because of that baptism of love, it's going to be hard for them to stay that way. I release it now. Now, I even sense from the Lord that there are some of you that are not even saved. And they're not even in the kingdom, if you will. Anyway, pardon the Christianese. And the Lord is saying, I'm even pouring this love on you now. This is what I'm sensing. Do you feel that love? That's the love that God has for you and for humanity. Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now. Lord, as I heard you say right now, using the Passion Translation version of the scriptures, you said, today engagement rings are being issued. And Jesus is like a proposal, you know, will you marry me? And so that's the question that's being posed today. Jesus wants you to be a part of the bride on that day, on the wedding supper of the Lamb, on that wedding ceremony. It's, you know, I even heard him say, child, will you marry me? There are even children, as I sense from the Lord, watching this. This is going to be a riveting day for them. That they just happened upon this podcast, this video. Oh, what's that all about? And then they listen to it, and at the end, they sense this presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, I actually had a moment last night when I was listening to that sermon when Jesus asked me that question. And in essence, I rededicated my life. I said, yes, Lord. Because there are things, you know, motives and things like that in our hearts that we have, and we just have to, you know, we have to have that resolve that, hey, I'm not going to be the final authority, you know, the psychology or the trauma or whatever. That's not going to be my final authority. God is. The Word is. And we just have to have the audacity of the Lord to say anything that is not in this book, anything, any book that has things that are not in this book, the Bible, is not holy. We have to have that audacity. We have to rise up in the power of the Lord. Or in the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. And put on that whole armor of God and be ready to fight even now. And embody in this world the ruler of the line of the tribe of Judah. And those of you that are new, you can find that in Revelation chapter 10. I think it is where it says that, you know, John was weeping because he couldn't find anyone worthy to open the scroll. And the elder, one of the 24 elders says, "Don't weep. Behold, the line of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And has prevailed to open the scrolls." Lord Jesus, we collectively kneel at the altar. Those of us who don't bow our knees, we're bowing our hearts. We bow our hearts at the altar. And Lord, we say yes. We say yes that we want to recommit our lives to you. We want to marry you, Lord. Those of us, Lord, that have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, been sealed, I just ask that you would, there would be a refilling, a rebaptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, you feel that in your stomach? If it's your first time, that's the unction. It's what we would call the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, push past all analyzing. Some of you may need to renounce cessationism. Oh, Lord, Sarah, you already took care of that. Thank you, Lord. This is a special day. And so, push past all analyzing. Lord, I thank you for also giving them the faith to do that, Lord. When you said it's already taken care of, thank you, Lord. You didn't even have to say a word. You said, thank you, Lord. So I'm going to pray with you in agreement. Behold the fiery ones of Almighty God. Behold the burning bride of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The time of excuses has passed in this dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. New worship songs will be released. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I am marking the young for this, for the movement ahead. Thank you, Lord. Father God, even as you are showing me and as you are speaking to me, I thank you that this is like a modern day version of a stadium event, what I heard you saying. So Father, I thank you for just that you're going to touch thousands of people. No, billions of people. More than a billion soul harvest that was prophesied. And I don't believe. I believe. Let's see, how do I say this? I don't seem prideful. By your messenger angels, you will carry this to other churches. Other ministers will begin to preach, to minister more about the Bride of Christ, or at certain times about the covenant that we enter into. Father, I thank you for it. It is only by your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm always mindful. Like, when I say something, I'll think, okay. Because I'm not after glory. I'm after the glory of God. I try to only speak what I feel like the Lord is saying. But then I think sometimes it gets a little bit too far-fetched. And so, what I want to do, I'm going to go ahead, I feel led from the Lord, go ahead and close this out, close this podcast out. And again, I apologize, I don't intend on being boastful or anything like that, you know, like, billion is, it's almost the whole world, so I don't, this is not a one-man show, a one-woman show. It's just about, what is God doing? In fact, I asked the Lord in the courts of heaven that part about the billion, you know, what was said be struck from the record, Lord. And that your grace would make up for it in this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen. So, additional resources, you can also go to Messenger International has an app. You can go and get that. His book, Killing Kryptonite, is actually where that knockoff Jesus, that teaching that he taught the sermon out of comes from. if you want to get that. But, like I also mentioned, Pastor Todd Coconato, and this has just been a sermon that's really been stirring in my heart for a long time about the Bride of Christ. These other things I mentioned is like what, things that brought it to a head, if you will. And just a time of consecration, a time of following Christ. I wanna invite you. I don't know yet what he's gonna be preaching on, but Pastor Mickey will be ministering Sunday, tomorrow. I wanna invite you to listen to the sermon tomorrow. I want to invite you to stay tuned and come back here tomorrow sometime after probably around 4, because that's about around the time that I screen record the sermon, depending on what we do, if we go eat or whatever. So I don't, you know, we don't usually get home till maybe 3 something, but anyway. I would encourage you to follow this podcast and hit the notification button or bell, whatever. And that way you won't have to worry about if you missed it or not. And you can stay we can stay up to date as to when we will release a new podcast. Or if you're on YouTube, you can just hit, you can actually go down below the video. If you think it'd be easier to type in our channel, it's called Design for Victory YouTube channel. And you can type that in and then just hit, after you hit enter and it loads, either on your computer or your phone, whatever it is, you look it up. You'll want to look for one that has a cross. And tap on that channel. Depending on when you search, if you're looking on the podcast and the video hasn't uploaded yet or whatever, depending on when you search, the first video should either be the Judgment Seat of Christ sermon or the Mystery of the Bride sermon. Or if you're listening to this on a later date, it might be tomorrow, you know, whatever we put up tomorrow for Pastor Mickey. But if you see something like that, and also Pastor Mickey's channel is Storm Minister 54, so a lot of times when I put a sermon up from him, I'll put at Storm Minister 54, so that way you'll know it's from him. So if you see that after a sermon title, then you'll know, okay, then above this must be their channel. So then you'll want to hit subscribe after you find it, and then after you do that, hit the notification bell. And it will notify you every time we go live. I mean, every time we don't go live, but every time we post a video, excuse me, again. I don't know if the Lord is going to lead me to do any other sermons other than Tuesday, but after the one from Pastor Mickey, then our next one is going to be from this Tuesday. I'll be ministering this Tuesday. So, I'm actually sensing that the Lord is saying that, yeah, I will be ministering other days of the week besides just that Tuesday. So, but I want to thank you for listening to this. Oh, also, Wednesday night, here are some events that you might want to subscribe. Type in Oasis Church and subscribe to that if you would like. At 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, I think it is. Yeah, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. They do their weekly prayer meetings on Tuesday, on Wednesdays. Also, tomorrow they do the waiting at 8:50, but I think it officially starts at 9. So you'll be seeing that Sunday tomorrow as well. Wednesday night, after the Oasis Church service, during it, Pastor Alan Jackson's service will be there, but I mainly listen anyway to that, but after that at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Bob Larson goes live with another exorcism or another live guest, just another live show. So I wanted to let you all know about those events, and I felt that I needed to do that now, because those of you that are listening now may not, you might not be, listening on Tuesday or the latest broadcast that will be done before these events. So I thought I would let you all know about Sunday and Wednesday at Oasis and Bob Larson mainly. These are events that these are live streams that I listen to on YouTube. And so I just wanted to let you all know a little bit about what I listen to, so that the Lord could maybe even use these things to benefit you. And a prayer request. Please pray for tomorrow morning at Oasis Church. If you have a prayer language, please pray in the Holy Spirit for tomorrow, for the will of God to happen, for the presence of God, the glory of God. Not the Shekinah, but the Kabod glory. The Kabod glory is the weighty glory of God to come down in that service tomorrow. And just for everything to be done that needs to be done. And on another note, if you'd like to contact us, feel free to, if you like this video, like, comment, share, subscribe, follow us on the podcast, rate the show. But also, if you want to contact us, feel free to you can go to www.stormministries.com, StormMinistries.com, and then go to the contact link. On another note, this is one thing I haven't mentioned in a long time, and actually I feel it would be easier other than that phone number. I have not deleted it yet, sorry. But you can go to www.kingdomadvance.family.blog, KINGDOMADVANCE dot family, FAMILY dot blog, BLOG. Go to About Us, and on the bottom, it'll give you all of the contact information as to where you can contact us. Another note, though, if you want to go ahead and write this down, you can write to us at Preach Unto Them Jesus or Putt J, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. Again, Putt J, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. And thank you all very much once again. God bless.